Welcome back to the OU Shnai Mikra series and our study of Parshat Vayeshev. This is Menachem Liptag. Today's show we study Shlishi, the third Aliyah, beginning in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, chapter 37, verse 23. At the end of yesterday's Aliyah, there were two plans for how to get rid of Yosef. First, the brother said, let's kill him and throw his dead body in the pit. Reuven then offered an alternate plan, which was less violent. He suggested instead of killing him in first-degree murder, he said, let's take him alive and throw him into a pit, in a pit in which hopefully he will die within a day or two. In the meantime, secretly, Reuven is planning to come back to the pit and save his brother. This was all being plotted and planned before Yosef arrived on the scene. Our Aliyah begins as Yosef arrives on the scene, and the brothers are about to execute Reuven's plan. Vahi kasher ba Yosef el achav, and it came to pass when Yosef came to his brothers, v'yavshitu et Yosef et kutanto, immediately they took off his coat, et ktonet hapasim asher alav, the special striped colored coat that his father had made for him, and the next thing they should do is throw him into the pit. Pasach avdalet, v'yikachuhu, then they took him, after taking off his coat, v'yashlichu oto habora, and they threw him into the pit, the specific pit that Reuven had suggested, v'habor reik in bomayim, and the pit was empty without any water in it. Again, this is important for Reuven's plan, because if there was water, he'd be able to survive. If there was also too much water, he would drown right away, and for sure it wouldn't help Reuven's plan at all. And also, if there was water in the pit, then other shepherds might come around to go to that pit to get water and possibly save Yosef. They want a pit where no one will come to, and hopefully he'll die in the pit, and no one will ever find him. Now that they've executed Reuven's plan, it's time to sit down and eat. Pasach hafeh. After throwing their brother into the pit, vayishvu lechol lechem, then they sat down to eat bread. Here lechem probably means food in general. Vayisu enehem vayiru, from the place where they're sitting and eating, they lift up their eyes and they see from a distance. Vinei orchat yishmaelim ba'a migilad. Behold, there's a caravan of Yishmaelites coming down from the Gilad. Ugmalehem nosim nechot utzri velot hochim lorid mitzrayma. This caravan consists of many camels carrying many goods. Here specifically, they're carrying gums and spices, something which is unique to the area of the Gilad, and possibly as well to the hills of Yudan Shomron. The hilly lands in the hilly area of the land of Canaan enables the growth of certain spices which are hard to find in Egypt. And therefore there was a lucrative trade route which brought goods from the land of Israel north to Mesopotamia and south to Egypt. The profession of the Ishmaelim, they were the caravaners who brought these goods between Egypt and the area of Canaan, as well as into Mesopotamia. To understand the rest of the story, it's critical to take into consideration the geography of Israel and the nature of this trade route. As we saw from yesterday's Aliyah, the brothers are watching their sheep in an area called Dotan, which is Jenin today, which is a little bit west of the Gibeon Mountain, and a little bit north of the area of Shechem, and a little bit south of Afula, in the area called Emek Yisrael, or the Jezreel Valley. They're in a hilly area. They have to be high up enough in the area of the Gaboa or Dotan, and anyone who's ever been on a tour up to Mount Gaboa, there are many places, especially in a mountain called Har Barkan, where you can easily see the whole area of Emek Dotan, the whole area of Jenin, the big wide valley there in the mountains to the north of Shechem. And from the same hill, you can also see the Gilad Mountains and the whole Jordan River Valley called Bikat Yarden. Even though from that distance, you couldn't identify one individual person, you could definitely identify a caravan of camels coming down the Gilad Mountains and traveling through Emek Yisrael. This area in Emek Yisrael, where it meets the Bikar, or the Jordan River Valley, is called Emek Beit Shan, where the city of Beit Shan is today. And where the brothers are sitting and eating, they have a beautiful view of the Gilad Mountains, Emek Beit Shan down below, which leads into Emek Yisrael, which is part of the main trade route which the caravaners take down to Egypt. If this caravan is traveling with camels, there's no reason for them to travel through the mountain range of Dotan or Shechem itself. Instead, the natural highway that they would take would be the road that would take them from Beit Shan past Afula, which would meet up with what's called Highway 65 today, or Kvish Vadi Ara. That road goes past the famous site of Megiddo and continues down that valley to the coastal plain, to the area of Caesarea and Hadera. From there, it goes along the coastal plain, past the area of Yafo, down past Aza, past El Arish, and down all the way down to Egypt. We'll see now why this information is important for our story. Pasuk Chavav. Vayomer Yehuda el Achav. After noticing this caravan of Yishmaelim, Yehuda has a great idea, and he tells his brothers as follows. Ma betza ki narog et achinu. What do we gain by killing our brother, or letting him die in the pit? vechisinu adamo, and covering up his blood, which means covering up his body, hiding his body, and pretending we don't know what happened to him. What are we going to gain by that? For sure we want him dead, in the sense that we don't want his dreams to come true. But if we could have a plan where his dreams would not come true, but we would not have to kill him, that would be even better. Therefore, he has a better idea. L'chuvenim karenu le'ishmaelim. Let's go and sell him to this caravan of Ishmaelites, who would take him and sell him to the slave market in Egypt. V'yadenu atyebo. And that way, our hands will not do anything to him. In other words, we won't be responsible for his death. Ki achinu b'sarenuhu. After all, he's our brother, he's our own flesh and blood. V'yishmu echav, and all of his brothers agree to this idea. We see from Yehuda's idea and his brother's agreement of his idea that the main thing the brothers want is not the death of Yosef, but rather they want him out of the family. The easiest way to get him out of the family would be to kill him, or to just to let him die. But we see all through the story they're bothered by the actual act of murder. And now they have a better plan. They'll get rid of Yosef by selling him into slavery, by selling him to that caravan who will take him away to Egypt, and then hopefully they'll never see him again. But this way they will not commit murder. Now it's geography that will explain the rest of the story. The brothers, again, are eating in Dothan, in the mountainous area, which is near the Gibeah. In order for them to sell Yosef to this caravan of Ishmaelim, they're going to need to go back to the pit that Reuven had told them to put Yosef in, take him out of the pit, and then carry him down the mountain range, probably about a 20-30 minute walk, to meet the caravan in Emek Yisrael. In other words, the main highway that the caravan is traveling on does not pass through Dothan. And it definitely will not pass the area where the brothers are sitting down and eating, and definitely not pass the pit that Yosef is in. Reuven's entire plan and choice of the pit was built on the idea that the pit is far away from civilization, and no one would hear him crying or screaming and come and save him, other than Reuven himself going back there later. So it can't be that this pit is on this main highway that the caravan is going to travel on. Therefore, once the brothers agree to Yehuda's plan, what they would need to do, they would need to go back to the pit, take Yosef out of the pit, and then take him down and sell him to the Ishmaelim. But they got lots of time, because that caravan is only going down from the Gilad now. They probably have several hours until they'll need to meet them. But as fate would have it, something very interesting happens in Pasach Chavchet. V'yavru anashim midyanim socharim. In the meantime, a group of Midianite merchants, a socher is a merchant selling goods like a peddler, and this is a group of Midianites, which is not identical with Ishmaelim, as we'll see in the continuation of this Pasach. So a group of Midianite merchants pass by, and they must have heard Yosef screaming near the pit. So what do? Vayim shechu, they pulled Yosef out of the pit. Vayalu et Yosef minabor, they took Yosef up from the pit. Vayim kru et Yosef la'ishmaelim besrim kesef, vayavu et Yosef mitzrayma. They, the Midianim, they sold Yosef to the Ishmaelim for 20 silver talents, and then the Ishmaelim brought Yosef to Egypt. In other words, the way we're reading these psukim, and we're following the direction of the Chizkuni, and the Rashbam also brings up this possibility. Even though the brothers were planning to sell Yosef, while they were planning to sell Yosef, sitting down and eating their meal in Dothan, it just so happened that a group of merchants happened to pass by the area of the pit that they had thrown Yosef into, and they took him out of the pit and sold him, way before the brothers got to the pit. If this explanation is correct, then it turns out that the brothers never sold Yosef. They wanted to sell Yosef, they were planning on it, but they never did it. This explanation also only makes sense if the brothers sat down to eat far away from the pit, and not at the pit itself. But that is a very logical conclusion to reach, because if they're sitting down to eat, why would they eat near the pit where the brother is screaming? Secondly, Reuven's plan would not make sense if the brothers would stay by the pit, waiting there for him to die. Reuven's entire plan was based on the idea that the brothers would throw him in the pit, and then go back to their camp in Dothan, and he would sneak away from the brothers later to go back and save him. So in the logic of the story, it makes much more sense that the brothers are sitting down to eat far away from the pit and not next to the pit. And we're going to prove this in the psukim that follow. So according to Pasach Chavchet, and our explanation according to the interpretation of Chizkuni, while the brothers were sitting and eating, in the meantime the Midianim came by and stole Yosef from the pit and they sold him. And back in Dothan, the brothers have decided to go back to the pit and sell him. And now the question comes up, what is Reuven going to do? Up until now, we have no indication from the psukim that Reuven had left his brothers. And when they sit down to eat, there's every reason to assume that Reuven was with his brothers eating. And if he wasn't with his brothers eating, he should definitely be by the pit trying to save his brother. And for sure it wouldn't make sense if the brothers were eating by the pit that Reuven would abandon the brothers and go somewhere else. Instead, if our assumption is correct that the brothers are eating far away from the pit, and they all agree on selling Yosef, what is Reuven to do? When he hears the plan, he can't tell the brothers, oh, what a terrible idea. It's better that we let him die in the pit. Because the brother's plan makes much more sense than Reuven's. Reuven's whole plan was built on the idea, let's not commit murder. And Yehuda's plan is even better than Reuven's. Because this way, they're not going to kill him at all. Reuven has only one thing he possibly can do. Reuven has to volunteer to be the first one to go to the pit to take him out to sell him. In other words, when the brothers decide and agree, let's sell Yosef, the logical thing for Reuven to do would be to volunteer to go to the pit to take Yosef out to bring him to sell him. What Reuven would really want to do, though, is be the first to the pit and let Yosef go and tell him to run back quickly to his father before he's sold. But that for sure he won't tell his brothers. Most likely what happened was is that Reuven volunteered to go to the pit first, and there'd be no reason for the brothers not to allow him to do that. And that's exactly what we find happening in Pasuk Chavtet. Vayashav Reuven el Habor, Reuven returns to the pit. Remember this word Vayashav? It's going to be very important. Reuven returns to the pit, as we suggested, from where his brothers are sitting and eating. Vinei en Yosef Habor, but by the time he gets to the pit, the Midianim had already taken him out. And therefore, Yosef is not in the pit. He's now totally confused, assuming either that Yosef got away and possibly ran home, then he's in big trouble because he'll tell his father that his brothers tried to kill him or threw him in the pit, and then they'll ask whose idea was it, and Yosef will say it was Reuven's idea. Or the other possibility is that maybe a wild animal came and ate him up in the pit, or someone took him away. Reuven has no idea what happened, and therefore, Vayikrat Bgadav, he rips his clothes because his whole plan to return to the position of family leader and find favor in his father's eyes again has been totally ruined. What must Reuven do now? Reuven must go back now to his brothers and tell them the news. Pasuk Lamed, Vayashov el Achav. Reuven now returns to his brothers. This proves our point that the brothers were eating far away from the pit. Because first, Vayashov Reuven al Habor, Vayashov el Achav. In the way we're explaining the Pesukim, the brothers in the meantime are totally unaware of what's happening. Reuven is the first person to the pit. Not the last person to the pit. He realizes that Yosef is gone. Therefore, he returns now and tells this news to his brothers. But Yomar, and he tells them, Hayeled enenu. The little boy is missing. He's not there. Ba'ani, and I, anani ba, where am I going to go? It was my idea. My father's going to blame me. What's going to be with my future? Now, if we take the classic interpretation that the brothers were eating by the pit, and they just happened to be there when the Midianim passed by, and they told the Midianim to pull Yosef out of the pit, and they gave Yosef to the Midianim to give to the Ishmaelim, that's for sure a possibility, which most of the commentators bring up. There's a question here, because now the brothers should tell Reuven, you know why he's missing? Because we sold him. The brothers don't answer Reuven and say, Reuven, you know where he is? He's not missing. We sold him. Instead, they seem to be as dumbfounded as he is. And therefore, they have to come up with a solution of how to solve the problem. Now, there is a slight possibility that Yosef may have gotten away and gone home. At least in the brothers' eyes, this might have happened. But all they need to do is wait a couple days and find out from their friends in Hebron if Yosef made it back home. But as soon as it's clear to them that Yosef is not back home, they're sure that when they come home, the father is going to accuse them of murder again. And now they have to go back to the original plan, but for a totally different reason. Now they're going to go back to their original plan and try to convince their father that Yosef was eaten by a wild animal. But to do that, they're going to do something which is very conniving. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. By Chuet Ktonet Yosef, they took Yosef's colored coat, and then they shechted a goat. Then they took Yosef's coat, and they dipped the coat in the blood of the goat. Now, if the brothers took this blood-stained coat by themselves to the father, this would be self-incriminating, and the father right away would accuse him, you guys must have killed Yosef. Instead, they have a much better idea. Pasuk Lamed Bet, they send the Ktonet Pasim. In other words, they take someone who's not one of the brothers, someone they're friendly with, or someone they can trust, they send the coat ahead to Hebron, and these people that they send the coat with, they start going door to door in the city of Hebron, by Aviu Alevihim, and then they go to the house of their father. In other words, the people that the brothers send take the coat and bring it to the brother's father, that is to Yaakov, by Amru Zot Matzanu, and they tell Yaakov, this is what we found, Hakerna Haktonet Binchahi Imlo. Do you recognize this coat? Is it the coat of your son? Or maybe not. This can't be the brothers bringing the coat to the father, because they wouldn't ask him, do you recognize this coat? Of course, the brothers for sure know that that's Yosef's coat. But rather, someone else is bringing the coat to Yaakov, and it's people that are sent by the brothers to try to trick their father. Vayakira, Yaakov immediately recognized the coat, and he said, Vayomer ktonet bini, this is the coat of my son. Chaya ra'a chalatu, he must have been eaten up by a wild animal. Torof, Toraf, Yosef. Yosef was ripped apart by an animal, and that's why he died. And again, as the brothers planned originally, they created a situation where Yaakov is going to blame himself for the death of Yosef. What's ironic was in the brothers' original plan, they wanted to kill Yosef, and knowing that he's dead, would try to convince their father, Yaakov, that it was his fault that he died. And now they have no idea what happened to him. But even though they have no idea what happened to him, the last thing they want is for Yaakov to think that there's a possibility that Yosef is still alive, because then he would never get over his death. Instead, they want to convince him that he is dead, but also in a way that he would blame himself for the death, and their plan works even a little bit too good. As we read in Pasuk Lamed Daled, Vayikra Yaakov Simlotav, Yaakov ripped his garments, ripped his clothing in mourning, Vayasam Sach B'motnav, he put on his sackcloth, Vayitabel Abno Yamim Rabim, and he mourned for his son for many years. All the sons and daughters tried to comfort him. They were not able to comfort him. Yaakov said, I'm going to go down to the grave together with my son. And his father could not stop crying about the loss of his son. Imagine now how Yaakov feels about the entire Bechira process, about his chosenness, and about the idea that he was supposed to continue the legacy of Abraham and Yitzchak. He had high hopes that his children, especially his children from Rachel, Yosef and Binyamin, would continue the legacy of Avraham and Yitzchak, and they would become the chosen nation, and possibly as well the children of Leah. But now all his dreams have fallen apart. He's unable to be comforted, and now for the rest of his life, he becomes very passive, until some 22 years later, he finally hears the news that Yosef is alive. Pasuk Lamed Vav, Bamdanim Chroto El Mitzrayim. The Medanim, most likely here, is referring to the Midianim. It could be Medan and Midian are two different groups, because they're two different sons of Keturah, as we saw in the end of Parshat Chayisara. But the simple understanding here is the Madanim is referring to the Midianim who had taken Yosef out of the pit and sold him. So they sold him to Egypt, the Potiphar Saris Paro Sar Tabachim, to Potiphar, who was a servant of Paro, in charge of the Tabachim. There's a machloket. Was he in charge of shechting all the meat? That was he the chief butcher of the king? Or was he the head executor for the king? Was he the person in charge of putting people to death who had committed sins against the king? You'll see those two opinions in the commentators. In any case, Yosef is going to be working for Potiphar, as we'll see in Perek Lametet when we study Chamishi. Now, if the Ishmaelim brought him down to Egypt, how could it be that the Medanim sold him to Egypt? That's exactly what we explained before, that the Ishmaelim are the caravanners, they're the shipping company. The Midianim, they're the local merchants. The merchant who sold Yosef were the Midianim, but by way of the Ishmaelim, the shippers, they sold Yosef to Mitzrayim, to Potiphar, Sri's Paro, Sarah Tabachim. Before we conclude our study today, I'd like simply to note that we've been following the interpretation of the Chizkuni through our discussion of these psukim, and I'm not suggesting that this is the only way to interpret them. I'm just trying to show that if we follow Chizkuni, it's very interesting to see how the events develop, and recognizing that the brothers never sold Yosef, if our interpretation is correct, will have a tremendous effect on the events that transpire in the next several parshiot, all the way until Parshat Vayigash. However, there's one major question if we follow Chizkuni's interpretation, and that relates to what Yosef says in Parshat Vayigash when he finally reveals himself and he tells his brothers, Ani Yosef Achichem Asher Mechartem Oti Mitzrayma. When Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers, he says, I'm Yosef, your brother, who you sold to Egypt. So we see from there that Yosef thinks that the brother sold him. If Yosef says that I'm Yosef, who you sold to Egypt, that's a very good proof that the brother sold Yosef, and that would ruin everything we explained so far in today's Aliyah. So Chizkuni gives an explanation on that pasuk and says that Yosef is saying to them, it was because of you the Midianim stole me from the pit and sold me to Egypt. But there's another way of explaining these events, which would also explain what Yosef is saying. According to our explanation, even though the brothers wanted to sell Yosef, they never actually did that. While they were only discussing that topic, it just so happened a group of Midianite merchants who were on the way to meet that caravan anyhow happened to pass by chance, the same area of the pit. They heard Yosef, they pulled him out of the pit, and they took him and sold him. But let's take a look at these events from Yosef's perspective. What does Yosef know? Yosef sees his brothers, goes to meet them, and as soon as he comes, they immediately take off his cloak, throw him in the pit, and they leave. What's Yosef thinking? Yosef has no idea that they wanted to kill him. Maybe they were just throwing him in the pit to get him angry, but he was sure that maybe they'd come back, but he was probably sure that they would come back to get him after several hours. In the meantime, the Midianim came and took him. Yosef may not see that as a coincidence, but rather he may assume that as soon as the brothers threw him into the pit, they told the Midianim to go get him, and take him and sell him. In other words, Yosef thinks that the brother sent the Midianim to take him out of the pit to sell him to the Ishmaelim. Therefore, from Yosef's perspective, he's sure that the brothers were behind his sale, even though the brothers themselves have no idea what happened to him. So that explains why Yosef says to his brothers, Ani Yosef achicha meshem rachartim otim Mitzrayma. The way Yosef saw the events, he says, I'm Yosef, your brother, who you sold to Egypt. Even though they, the brothers, had no idea of what happened. The other point that supports the Chizkuni's interpretation is that throughout the entire story, when Yosef interrogates his brothers, and they have to be telling the truth because they're under interrogation and being accused as spies, every single time Yosef asks them about the fate of their family, they consistently say, Ha'achad eneno. That Yaakov had two sons, Binyamin is back with his father, and the other son, eneno, which means he's missing. They didn't say he died, they didn't say he was sold, they simply said eneno, because that's all they know. That's exactly what Reuven said as well. And therefore, even though one can interpret these psukim in many different directions, in our study today, and our study of the remainder of Parshat Vayeshev, we're going to follow Chizkuni's approach and assume that the brothers had no idea what happened to Yosef, even though Yosef himself thought that his brothers were behind the sale. The story of what happens to Yosef will only continue in chapter 39 in Perek Lamed Tet when we return to Chamishi. In tomorrow's Aliyah and Revi, we're going to take a break from the story of Yosef and study a story about what happens with Yehuda and his children.